Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
As we get ready for part three of For the Culture, make sure you grab a hold of your Bible, show them your Bible, love, hold
here
it up
is.
In the
we
air.
Here it is, we got Bible, physical.
Yes, we love big Bibles, and we cannot lie, okay? So make sure, get your Bibles, take notes. Notes may not help you right in this moment, but they're going to point you back to a place in your word that will bless you when you need it the most. And today, in our third part in this For the Culture series, we are taking two scriptures to start with. One is the one we've been using every week.
Yeah.
This is our main reference verse in Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. And then put your finger on Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, because we're going to read that right after. But here we go. Philippians 4, chapter 8 and 9. And it goes something like this. Why don't you read it, love?
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And let's skip over to Galatians 6:10 that says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers.
I love that. I'm going to read that again because I like that. Therefore, yeah. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, which yeah. leads us in to our second cool church value. If you're taking notes, in this third part of For the Culture, but it's the second cool church value. We just want to title this. It's very simple. Today, we're talking about value number two, family.
Family.
Love, why don't you pray?
Father God, I thank you for this family of believers that we get to worship with every Sunday and every day during the week. God, I pray that you bless them, that you bless their homes, that you bless their families that are with them right now, God. I pray that you cover them, Lord. Let them hear your words, let their hearts be opened, and let them be transformed by hearing this word that is designed for them for such a time as this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Let's take about 5 seconds before we get going. Everybody give Jesus some praise. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on,
whoop,
turn
whoop,
up.
Whoop.
Hallelujah.
Come on, press
them
hearts.
Heart, 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 heart.
Give it.
Share,
give
share,
us some...
share. Like.
Yep.
Dope.
Come on. You know, you should share, by the way.
Yeah, at any time during this message, man, I mean, you should share it right now, but make sure you get to connect with others because there's folks out there that need God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
So we've been in this series called For the Culture, and this series is all about our values. And the reason that we keep starting off with Philippians 4, 9, and 10, I've given you the context and the background for this verse a few times, but here we go one more time. Paul's writing this from prison. He's writing to the Philippian church, and they're discouraged because he's in prison. And Paul is like, hey, I know I'm the one locked up, and I know that you guys want me to get out, but let me encourage you with this. He says, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, like, think about such things. Whatever you've heard in me and seen in me and learned from me, put it into practice, and what the God of peace will be with you. It's amazing because they should have been writing him to encourage him from prison, but from prison, he's writing and encouraging them, say, hey, the values that you learn from me, put them into practice.
Absolutely.
Because when you put your values into practice, the Bible tells you that the God of peace will be with you. Do you want peace in times of racism? You better know what your values are. Do you want peace in the time of coronavirus? You better know what your values are. Do you want peace in a time where the stock market is going crazy every day? You better know your values. Do you want peace in times where a quarter of the American workforce is out of work? You better have some values. And don't just have them, put them into practice. That's what we've been talking about. for these last few weeks. And the thing that I love, and we've said this so many times, when you know what matters most to you, you're going to attract what's most important to you.
Yes.
How can you ever know what's important and attract what's important if you don't have firm foundational values? So many people say, oh, I don't know my purpose. And 9 times out of 10, when they say, hey, how do I find my purpose? I say, well, do you know your values?
Yeah.
If you don't know your values, it's hard for you to figure out what you are going to be able to do or accomplish on this earth. And last week, we talked about the very first Cool Church value, which is love.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have a church called Cool Church? Cool stands for created out of love. Can't have a church that was created out of love, and love's not the number one value. Love is everything for us, man. It's like the engine that drives us.
Absolutely.
Because what 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, that everything that's done should be done in love.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something, love needs to be the motivation for it. Don't waste your time if you're not going to do it in love. Because when you love what you do, you do it better.
Yeah.
And that was our first value. And the reason it has to be the first, because it motivates the rest of the values.
Absolutely.
It sets up value number 2 perfectly, which I'm excited to talk about today, which is family. Because you can't have family without love. We can't even begin to talk about family without love. Love is the glue that holds family together. And at Cool Church, since family is our second value, I'm going to give you our definition of that word family.
Yeah.
Family, whether it's the one you were born into, whether it's the one you create, or whether it's the one you choose, family means we don't do life alone. Hear me. You're not supposed to do life alone. Family isn't about being perfect, but it's about supporting each other along the journey towards God perfecting us.
I love that.
In order for us to be family, we need each other.
Sure, we absolutely do. And I love that you even say that love is what holds the family together. Mm-hmm. Because what is it? God is love, isn't he?
That's right.
So God even holds our family together. Mm-hmm. No matter which dynamic we're talking about, the family of origin, the family of choice, or the family you create, it's God that keeps us together.
That's right.
See, one thing that we all can relate to is family. At some point in our lives, we have been part, or we are still part of a family.
That's
we were
right.
born into a family. Mm-hmm. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, whatever it is, we all have family in common. And really, that is, family is God's design. Mm. He made it that way.
Yeah.
We were born into family, and he did it for a reason. And I love Proverbs 17:17, because now, it doesn't necessarily paint the entire picture of why he designed it that way, but it gives us a glimpse or an idea of what his design was all about. And Proverbs 17:17 tells us, a friend loves at all times, mm-hmm. and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
Love that.
Man, that's so beautiful, because it says that God designed us to always have an option to be supported. We're not meant to live this life alone.
That's
again,
right.
You said that, and, mm-hmm. and it's so important, because there are going to be times in our lives that are rough, those times where we have rough patches, we're faced with adversity. It's good to know that God's design includes a way for us to always be supported, because that verse tells us that that brother, which is a family member, is always there for us in times of adversity. And I love that family is, it's all about relationships, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God designed it. We all have, whether you're bonded by values, whether you're bonded by, friendship, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Anybody can become family.
Yeah.
And it's all about the relationships that we build.
Yeah, I love talking about family in the context of church. And if you've ever been to Cool Church, I've said this often, that church should feel like a big family reunion. Man, when I walk in the door and when I see people, I'm like, hey, what's up, auntie? What's up, cuz? What's up? Like, if you've known me long enough, I stop saying your name. I'm just like, hey, what up, bro? What up, sis?
Yeah.
How you doing? Because I think that the church family is the coolest family of all time, because all you have is this massive support system, man, of people that love you, are like-minded, and are for you. I feel like church, every time we come in, I know we're online, but every time we gather, every time we connect, it should feel like you're amongst family.
Yeah.
So you should be comfortable. You should feel good about being there. Honestly, some of my closest family is not even my biological family. It's people from church.
That's true.
Like when I'm looking for other moms and other dads, yes, I have an amazing mother and father, but man, I got church moms. I got some church dads.
Yeah.
I got some church grandmas, some church grandpas that love on me. And I think there's such an intimate relationship that you can have with your church family. Cool Church is not being done right if it does not feel like a family. And when we talk about families, we really want to engage and honor families on every level. And there's three types of families that I want to really talk about today as we break down this family of value. And here's the truth. Depending on the way that you operate in these family relationships, it's going to determine the way that you have a family relationship with our Father God. Mm. So we want you to be conscious of how you treat family here on earth, because often the way we treat family here on earth reciprocates the way that we treat family in heaven. So yeah. Three kinds of families I want to talk about. The first one is this. Is the family of origin. This is key. This is key. This is honestly one of the reasons we built this church. You didn't choose it, but you got to learn from it. You had no choice where you were born, what family you were born into. You didn't choose that. And some of y'all are like, man, I wish I did have a choice. Listen, you might not have chose it, but God put you in that situation because there were lessons that you were supposed to learn from it. And here's the truth. The family of origin is really important because it shapes who we are as people.
Yeah.
The mission of Cool Church is to build strong families, to build strong futures. Why did we come up with that mission? Because in the words of one of my favorite pastors, Tony Evans, he always said it like this. Messed up families mess up people. Mm. Messed up people mess up cities. Messed up cities mess up states. Messed up states mess up countries. Messed up countries mess up continents. Messed up continents mess up the world. The world's issues can be resolved if we can go back to the origins of the family.
Yeah.
All problems can be solved within the family. So our mission is to build strong families, which in turn will build strong people, which in turn will build strong communities, which will build strong cities, yeah, build strong states, and so on and so forth. If we can really work on the family and make the family structure strong again,
yeah,
then we can see this world get better. We want to save this world one family at a time.
Amen.
That's the mission of Cool Church.
Amen.
That's what it's about. You could trace every issue everybody ever had back to their family of origin or the lack thereof. Say, what are you talking about? Well, some people have trust issues because of too many broken promises in their family.
Yeah.
Some people don't know how to talk to others. They talk crazy to people at all times. Why? Because they learned that from folks that was talking crazy in their family. Some people, they either deal with abuse or they are abusers because they learned abuse in their own family. Some people learn a life of crime. Where they learn it? From their family. Do you know that a child of a parent that is incarcerated is more likely to end up incarcerated than a child that does not have a parent that is incarcerated? Why? Because they had to learn the mentality and the behavior from somewhere. Some people learn a poverty mentality. Why? Because they learned it from their family. And here's the one that we're dealing with the most today, the ongoing 400-year-old problem.
Whoa.
Some people learn racism and hate. Why? Because God didn't give them that.
Yeah.
They learned it from their family. The lessons you learn from your family of origin can either be a blessing to this world or a curse to this world. What are you learning from your family of origin?
Wow. That's so powerful. And it's like, you know, everything that you experience in your life can be traced back to your family. Mm. And I want us to really pay attention to what we're saying here, that it's not about having the perfect family.
Right.
It's about no matter what family God put you in, there is something to be learned.
That's right.
And so I love, when I think about that, I can't help but think about the story in Luke 2, 49 through 52. Mm-hmm. And this is the story of Jesus being left at the temple. Mm. So, of course, you have the family, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and everybody else that went with them. They went to Jerusalem. And this was a time of Passover, and they were there for about a week or so. And, you know, they're getting their stuff ready to go back home. And Jesus is nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is that they forgot him. Mm. After they didn't realize that he was gone until about a day later.
Crazy.
So they were traveling, and they realized a day later that Jesus is not with them. So, mm-hmm. of course, like any parent would, they freak out. How many mm-hmm. times do you freak out when you lose their kids? I see so many times people lose their kids all the time. I never understood that, but actually, I probably did that before at least once with Bob.
I ain't saying nothing.
But, you know, how many of you guys can relate to that feeling when you realize that your kid is not with you and you mm-hmm. start freaking out? So that's exactly what happens with Mary and Joseph. And they're like, oh, my God, we left Jesus. Who leaves Jesus?
Crazy.
I mean, you could leave any other kid. You know, you got Babbitt. But why Jesus?
Oh, my God.
Of all kids, true. I'm not leaving Jesus anywhere.
That's true.
But so they're looking around. They can't find him anywhere. And then they realize, okay, maybe he's back in Jerusalem. Mm. They go looking around Jerusalem. And it wasn't until they get to the temple that they see him. And he's surrounded. He's chilling. He's with all the other priests and all the other people that are just listening to him talk. Mm-hmm. And they're just amazed. And he's like, he's doing it.
That's right.
Like, he's really giving them some great teaching. He's talking about things. And mind you, he's 12 at this time.
Yeah.
So he's straight flexing his knowledge on them. And everybody is just so impressed by him. And his parents see him. And they're like, rather than being impressed, they're like, Jesus, how is it that you left us? How is it that you would do this? You were supposed to be with us. So they kind of scold him. And then we're taken to verse 49. And I want to read it. Luke 2, 49 to 52. And it said, and Jesus responds to them, well, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Mm. But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. He went down to Nazareth. Afterwards, he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. Mm. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man.
That's right.
Man, there is so much that we can pick up from that story. But I want to draw your attention to a few things as it relates to this value of family that we're talking about. The first being that your family keeps you humble, doesn't it?
So
oh
true.
My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny that you could be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company? You could have gotten all kinds of accolades and awards mm-hmm. on huge platforms, and just everybody knows you. You've got all kind of notoriety, mm-hmm. and you could be leading hundreds of thousands of people
yep.
in a mission. You could be doing that through a company, whatever it is. But to your parents, you're always going to be that little baby.
That's true.
You'll always be my baby, mm-hmm, right? You hear mm-hmm. your mom say that? To me, you're always going to be my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what you've done. All they see is that little pipsqueak that That's they true. Used to wipe their butts mm-hmm. when they were kids, no matter how big they may be in the standards of this world.
That's
see,
right.
I think that is so powerful, because no matter what, your family will keep you humble.
That's true.
And you know what? I don't think that's a bad thing, because we all need to stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
It's better that you allow God to elevate you than you to try and elevate yourself.
Come on.
Stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, because the second thing from this story that I got is that family is comfortable.
Mm.
And when you're comfortable, you tend to forget things, right?
Mm, that's true.
Man, see, they forgot Jesus. Why? Because they were so comfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just Jesus. Jesus is always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know? And I believe that is a word for some of us today
mm-hmm.
as believers. Some of us have gotten too comfortable with Jesus that
wow.
we forget him in all of our circumstances, huh?
You better preach.
We forget the God, Jesus, who delivered us from things that kept us behind.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus that cured us from disease
mm-hmm.
or healed us from things that were going to take us out.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus that brought our kids home when they were lost. Jesus that helped us to push back the pain from a broken relationship.
Mm.
Man, some of us need to remember that Jesus is who he says he is. We forget who he is. And we remember like the things that Jesus have done for us. Remember the times when he answered a prayer and how excited we were. But then we find ourselves in a low point. It seems like a lot of times we forget all that Jesus has done in our lives. And that is so important for us to always remember Jesus. But sometimes we get a little too comfortable because that's family, right? But then family, you have to submit to family. That's that's the last thing that I really pulled from that as it relates to family. You see, I think that, you know, when you submit to family, it's not necessarily because of who they are. That's why you should submit to your family of origin, not because of who they are, but who God is to you.
Amen.
God put you in that family. It may seem like the worst family. It may seem like there's all kinds of craziness and you know, and I know people are dealing with some real issues. There is abuse in families. There's pain in families. There's loss in families. But all in all, we have to trust that God put us in that situation for the purpose in our life. Amen. Our family of origin is essentially where we build our first set of relationships. No matter how messed up those families will be, we all can learn something from them.
Yes.
And we can take those things into our lives, and we have to always remember that our family of origin informs who we're going to be and how we're going to move forward in our lives.
I love that, because the family of origin teaches you some of the greatest lessons of life. And I'll be personal, like the best lesson I've learned from my family of origin is forgiveness.
Wow.
Listen, man, y'all don't know us Wilsons, man. We some crazy folks, and we have candor in our conversations. We will tell you like it is. You got to have thick skin to be a Wilson. And if we got so easily offended all the time that we would never talk to each other.
Wow.
But man, we always forgive one another and we keep moving forward. I love what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another." It says, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Let me tell you something. Nobody on the planet can make you madder than family. The people that are the closest to you, those are the people that drive you the craziest. Why? Because they're supposed to know you the best, and you expect them to treat you differently than everybody else. So when a family member, when somebody from your family of origin like offends you and comes at you, it's 20 times worse than if somebody else would do it, because you feel like, hey, we share blood. Why is this an issue? And one of the greatest lessons that I have ever learned from my family of origins, man, I got to be quick to forgive. There's somebody out there right now, and I'm speaking this message, and you are holding something against your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your auntie. Listen, God put you in that family situation because he wanted to teach you so many lessons, but I believe the most powerful one is a lesson of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Your dad left you. I hear you. I'm sorry for you. Forgive him. Christ forgave you. Your mom was mean to you. She never spoke a kind word over you in your life. I am so sorry for you. But guess what? You got to forgive her because Christ forgave you.
Yeah.
Your brother was jealous of you, and he always was mad when you got ahead and he treated you poorly. You know what? I'm so sorry for you. But forgive him. Christ forgave you. Your sister stole something from you. She had no right. She knew it was mine and she took it. Man, listen, I'm sorry, man. Nobody has the right to steal anything from you, but you gotta forgive her. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you. Let me tell you something. If you can learn how to forgive your family of origin, you can forgive anybody.
That's true, man.
If you can learn how to forgive the people that hurt you the most, you can forgive the way that Christ has called us to forgive. So don't be so quick to judge folks, man. Walk into situations and give people grace, because you don't know the trauma and the turmoil that they learned from their family of origin. But I'm here to tell you, I pray that you learn forgiveness along with other lessons, because here's the truth. You did not choose where you came from, but you have an opportunity to learn something from where you came from with your family of origin. But I don't want to just talk about family of origin. I want to talk about family of creation.
Yeah.
This is the family you make. You leave your family of origin one day and you endeavor to create your own family. That's why the Bible says things like a man will leave his mother and father and he will cleave or he will connect unto his wife, because when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. You got to leave your family of origin. I'm not talking about forget about them, but one day you will endeavor to build or create your own family. So the thing about the family of creation is it's different from your family of origin. You didn't have a choice in that, but you had to learn lessons from it. But the family you create, you made it. So you got to fight to preserve it. You started it. You need to fight to preserve it. And I love what the Bible says about the families that we endeavor to create. I made my own family, my beautiful wife. We adopted a daughter. She's the part of the family that we made. And we pray that we're going to be fruitful and multiply. It's going to be more little Wilsons popping up, because this is the family that we create. And look at what the Bible commands me to do for the family that I create. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Especially those in his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a. What does that tell me? Your faith is directly tied to how you treat your own family. Listen.
Wow.
Don't come to me and tell me you a man, a woman of God, and you treat your family like trash. Don't do that, because this verse tells me the way I treat my family is directly tied to my faith. Don't tell me you are a man and a woman of God and you put everything else but God before your family. That's just crazy to me. Like, I know some good folks that love Jesus, but they put work before their family.
Wow.
They put friends before their family. They put business before their family. They even put the church in front. No.
Listen,
I said put God before your family. I didn't say put church. Some of y'all are so wrapped up in the business of church that you have pushed your family to the back burner. And the Bible says, especially for those in his household, for he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Jesus. Let me tell you the order that your life should go in. It should be God, your family, then everything else. I'm going to repeat that again for the person in the back that didn't catch it. The order of your life should be God, your family, then everything else. So don't get mad at your old pastor. When I choose to put my family first, I might miss a call here and there. I might not return a text message right away because I'm probably putting my family first. Let me tell you something. Y'all ain't going to kill me. I'm going to repeat that. Y'all ain't going to kill me. Okay, I got cut off times in my life because my first ministry before being a pastor of Cool Church is to be the pastor of my family. Hear me, church. Don't let nothing get in the way of God and your family. I love the church. I will serve the church for the rest of my life, but I promise you, I'm serving my family better than I'm serving church.
Amen.
Because that is what the Bible calls me to do. The thing about the family that you create that is so amazing is you get to decide what your family's gonna be. Your legacy is now your own choice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You don't have to let your family's history become your family's future. I'm gonna say it again, just so you get it. Because you decided to create a family, you don't have to let your family's history become your family's future. Don't let a family curse. Don't let a family bondage. Don't bring that into the family you create.
Amen.
Create the God-loving family that you want to see.
Man, family, the topic of family has been a rough one for me because I come from what's labeled as a broken home.
Mm.
See, all throughout my childhood and into my teenage years, my parents were married. They were together. Everything was normal, right? And we were living as a family. That's my family of origin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so somewhere along the lines, there were things that happened that caused my parents to get a divorce. And see, divorce is so tough because it doesn't just affect the two people that are married, but it affects the entire family. And so I have brothers, and so we all had to be split up, and we all got sent to different parts of different houses, different family members' houses. And, you know, it was just a mess. And during that time, man, it took me so long to kind of regain myself, because during that time, I just felt so many feelings of abandonment. Mm. I felt like I was betrayed and like I had been cheated. I always asked God, why me? Why did this have to be my life? Why did this have to happen to my family? Why do I have to live like this? Mm-hmm. Other people don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. And I just felt myself so mad at not just God. I was mad at everybody that was, you know, my parents. I was mad that this was my situation. And I just didn't understand. I was like, why did God allow this to happen? Mm-hmm. I thought you loved me, God. How could you let this be my life? Because I felt so empty. I felt like I never belonged. I was at some family's house, and I just never felt like I had a place there, because, you know, you're just thinking, once something like that happens to you, such a shock. You just feel like, okay, it's only one thing can happen, and then you're going to be, you know, shipped somewhere else, mm-hmm. or you're going to get thrown out of the house, or whatever the case is. And so it really affected me so deeply, and it wasn't until I was a full-on adult right before we got married that I had to forgive. Mm-hmm. I had to forgive my parents for everything that happened, and I even forgave myself for how I had received it all. And for even feeling like for being mad at God, but yeah. God has, he's so loving that, you know, he just had so much grace for me in that time, because he knew that this would be something that shaped my entire life. Yeah. Because as I walked into this marriage with you, I remember thinking, man, okay, we're gonna start fresh. I have the opportunity with this new family to create something new. Mm. So something that was broken, that I understood family is about being broken, because that was the context that I had from my family of origin. I was able to, after God, you know, healed me from all the brokenness of what happened in our family, I was able to see that, wait, God can create something new.
Amen.
Through this family that we were about to embark on, mm-hmm. this journey of being a new family, the family that we create. And I believe that the situation that happened in my family of origin, all the pain, all of the things that happened, these feelings of abandonment, I think that it prepared me and it trained me to be the mother of an adopted child. Mm-hmm. It prepared me to be the wife of a pastor, mm-hmm. and to lead this church filled with all types of people dealing with all different kinds of things. And I believe the family we create, man, I love that we have the ability to change what we knew, take lessons from the past and bring it in to the new thing that God is doing in our lives.
That's such a beautiful story, and I appreciate you sharing your heart, love. I know I walk with you through that pain.
Yeah.
But once again, as we've endeavored to create our own family, I just want somebody else out here to hear this, that you don't have to allow, I've said it before, you don't have to allow your family's history to become your family's future.
Yeah.
God sets you up to create your own legacy, to pave a new path. But it's not just about the family of origin. It's not just about the family of creation, the one you make. Mm. It's also about the family of choice. This is a beautiful family, because you chose it, so you must serve it.
Yeah.
You chose it. Nobody chose it for you. This is your doing. You chose it, so you must serve it. I love what Galatians 6:10 says, and we said it at the top of this message, and here it comes back at the end. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Wow. I love that verse, because it's so simple. It says, man, do good for all people.
Amen.
Like everybody. Do your best for everybody. There is no prerequisites. Everybody, all people, all means all color, all gender, mm-hmm. all creed, all social and economic status, all political status, all culture, all religion, all. As a family, as a church that endeavors to build strong families and build strong futures, we're not trying to leave anybody out.
Nope.
Man, I believe that everybody deserves to get a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus. Not just some people, not just people that look like me, all people. All people have an opportunity. They have a shot at heaven, and they have a shot at heaven on earth by believing in the Savior, Jesus Christ. All people. But I love this. It says, let's do good for all people. But then here's the second part. Especially those that belong to the family of believers. Mm. That's the family of choice. Especially the family that I choose to be around. Especially, who's the family of choice? It's your church. It's the organization. It's the people outside of your actual blood and outside of your origin and outside of the folks that you, the family you create. These are people that don't look like you, don't act like you, don't talk like you, but we share a common bond. Your church is your family of choice. Because here's the thing, we didn't force ourselves on you. You chose us.
Amen.
You chose this house.
I'm glad you did.
I'm so thankful that you did. And you always have a choice on if this is your house. We are not handcuffing or shackling anybody to this house. If you want to be here, there is a place for you. But if you chose it, you must serve it. Why? Because, man, families, we fight to serve each other.
Yeah.
We fight for each other.
I love that. And I love that in our church, we love to say we're brothers and sisters serving brothers and sisters.
That's right.
And that's something that we live by, because if we're all serving each other, then everybody's needs are met.
That's right.
Aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I love this whole thought of the family of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to turn our attention to Matthew 12, 46 through 50. And I'm going to tell you kind of why we're there. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Verse 48, he replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother.
Amen.
How powerful is that? Here, Christ has given us such a clear picture of what the family of choice looks like.
Mm.
Because he says that we are bonded, not because, you know, everybody talks about we're blood relatives, but in this case, we are bonded by the most powerful glue there is, most powerful substance there is, and that is the blood of Jesus. And there is nothing more powerful and stronger than that, and so that's what we're bounded by. So what does that tell me? It tells me that not only is our family of origin, there's validity to that,
mm-hmm.
but when I read this, it tells me that the family of choice, the family of believers, is actually more important, that has more validity, especially in the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
than anything else. And so we have to value that, because God is telling us that that is so important, and his blood is what he died for. It. He died for us to be connected to his family, and which in turn will connect us to each other.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
That's so powerful, man. I love that. The family that we choose, there's no family more important than the family of Christ. And it's a family that we choose. It's not forced upon us.
Yeah.
We chose it. And I love that, because when you choose it, it should fight for you.
Yeah.
I love that. Christ always fights for us.
He fought for us. Amen.
I heard a story the other day, and I thought it was a really interesting story, so I figured I would tell it today. Around 2016, 2017, there was a man by the name of Kurt Alexander. Kurt Alexander was a bit of a loner. I mean, when I say a loner, he barely ever left his house. His neighbors would see him every now and again. He'd go and fiddle around the yard every now and then. Every time he saw them, he was a nice man. He'd wave hello. He'd say, make little comments here and there, but usually he stayed in his house. He was an introvert. He was a bit of a techie. So he loved being on his computer at all times. That's just kind of what he did, and I'm sure he just watched his favorite shows. But once again, really an introvert. And the funny thing about Kurt Alexander is that he had a taste for pizza, but not just any pizza. His favorite pizza was Domino's pizza. Okay. You say, how do you know that? Because for 7 years straight, he went online and he placed orders with Domino's pizza.
Wow.
Most times he got the same exact pizza every time that he ordered. And like when he wanted to switch it up, sometimes he would get little wings here and there, or he'd get, you know, one of the little Domino's sandwiches. But most times he would order his pizza. Now you can imagine, for 7 years, if you're ordering the same thing from the same restaurant, you would think that the people at the restaurant, they would catch on. And that's exactly what happened. Mm. The managers, the cooks, and the delivery people of that local Domino's, it was like, oh, Kurt's order's coming in. As soon as it would pop in on it, they knew him well. So they used to make it special for him because it's like, all right, it's Kurt, man. This is a loyal customer. 7 years, this guy's been ordering pizzas from us. Well, one day it came and something happened as to where Kurt didn't make his usual order.
Yeah.
So when the day went by, the manager was like, man, did y'all get an order from Kurt today? I ain't see Kurt's order pop up. And I was like, yeah, strange. All delivery people was like, yeah, man, nobody went to Kurt's house today. So they said, okay, maybe, you know, he's at a family gathering. Maybe he's at some kind of event. Maybe he's out of town. We're not going to stress it too much.
Yeah.
Day two went by. They asked the same question. Day three went by. They asked the same questions. Day four, five. Finally, we get to day 11. There's no orders from Kurt. After ordering from the same place and getting the same item for 11 years, no orders from Kurt. Mm. At this point, the manager had the wherewithal to say, something's wrong. Something's not right. And I don't want to be intrusive on this man's life, but I don't know how you just go for 7 years ordering something and then you stop. And then she started to think like, man, maybe was the last order bad? Maybe we can have like really good customer service right now. Maybe send him some stuff on the house, you know, just to make sure. So he had the order so many times, his number and everything was logged in to their system. So they actually called, because once again, she wanted to make it right, whatever it was. Called multiple times, no one answered. So finally one of the delivery guys that constantly went to this man's house, he was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Boss, let me go. I'm gonna go this out. I wanna just make sure he's okay, because this is weird, man. So delivery guy goes, who had been to this man's house countless times. He knocks on the door multiple times, calls the phone, no response. And now he's starting to get worried because he can kind of hear that the television is on. And even though the shades and stuff are down, the curtains are down, you can tell that lights were on in the house. So he was like, okay. Wait, somebody's in the house. Why is he not answering? Like, you know, he knows me. We have little conversations at the door. Like, what's going on? Why isn't he answering? So he got worried and he called his manager back and he says, boss, I don't know what to do. Like, I know the lights are on. I know the TV's on, but he's not answering. I don't know what's going on. The manager had enough wherewithal to say, you know what? I know this is crazy, but I feel like we need to call the authorities. I feel like something is wrong. This doesn't make sense. She calls the cops. She calls 911 dispatch and asks her what's going on. She's like, I know this sounds crazy, but this is Domino's Pizza. And we believe that somebody that we are delivering to that has had a relationship with us for 7 years, we think that something's wrong. And that at that time, the driver had come back to the shop, and she put the driver on the phone and says, yeah, I was at the house. We had the license on everything. And this man is not responding to us. Could y'all please just send an officer out? So they, you know, they took him through all the routines and said, yeah, sure, we'll send somebody out there. Now, after that, it was out of the manager and in Domino's hands, because they did everything they could. Yeah. And they just prayed to God that they would actually send an officer over there. So they send two officers. Mm. The officers get to the door. They see and hear the same thing that the driver heard. But here's what happens. They knock on the door. No answer. No response. And, you know, they try to use the speaker in their car. Hey, Mr. Alexander, please come out. The police are no response. They go back to the door, knock it down. Now they're thinking, okay, something actually might be wrong. We might have to escalate our measures right now. And when they were about to almost kick the door down, they hear a faint sound in the distance. Help. Help.
Wow.
Help. When they heard the help, they kicked the door in. Kurt Alexander is laying on the floor, body almost lifeless, and he is paralyzed. They call the paramedics immediately. They rush in. They try to revive this man. He is practically unconscious, barely any breath in his lungs. They get him into a position as to where they can get him on a stretcher, get him into the ambulance, rush him to the hospital. Doctors fight to save this man's life, and after fighting for a time, they finally revive him fully.
Amen.
They finally revive Kurt Alexander. What had happened was 11 days ago, he had a stroke and he could not move and he could barely talk. That's why he was letting out the faint sounds. And if these folks from Domino's Pizza did not worry enough about that dear brother, we might not be talking about Kurt Alexander today, because the doctor said if they did not resuscitate him when they did, he would have surely died that day.
Wow.
I find it so remarkable when I hear this story, and it lets me know that we all need family, because your family knows you so well that when you begin to do something that is out of character, they intervene.
Beautiful.
They step in. And I love this because Domino's Pizza was not his family of origin. Mm. Domino's Pizza was not his family of creation. Domino's Pizza was his family of choice. And because he chose them, they served him.
Beautiful.
If the family of choice did not serve this man in his time of need, we wouldn't be talking about Kurt Alexander today. If the pizza business can serve people, the church, who is in the business of people, must make people their priority business.
Jesus.
You must hear me. There is nothing else on the planet in a church family that's more important than you. Each and every one of you. I don't want a pizza business to outserve the church who was created and designed to serve people, because we don't just do it for some people. We do it for all people.
Amen.
Especially those that are a part of the family of faith. See, my friends, I am here today to say this. I am so thankful that when I was acting out of character, when I felt like I was stuck, when I was paralyzed and I could not move, Jesus, he saw me, and he knew that I gotta step in and intervene, because that is a member of my family.
Jesus.
See, today I chose Jesus because he knows me better than anybody. And when I was at my worst, he intervened and gave me his best. That is the gospel. That is the mission of the church. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know what side of the fence of faith that you're on today. But maybe your family of origin never treated you much like family. And all the lessons that you learned from them weren't good lessons at all. Maybe even a family that you have created, man, it's not going the way that you want. It's up to you to fight to fix it. But there's a family that you can choose. And when you choose that family, it will serve you like no other family ever will. Today, you can choose to be a part of the family of Jesus Christ. How do I know that he wants to serve you? Because the word says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, before you ever chose him, he decided to serve you. He sees you where you are. And if your concept of family is broken, he wants to put everything that you thought about family, every broken piece of family, he wants to put it back together. All you got to do is choose it. Bible says that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead, you're saved. Today, you get an opportunity to choose to be a part of the family of Jesus. If that's you, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you've done, choose Jesus and he will come and rescue you right where you are, right in this moment, because he loves you and he's so thankful that you chose him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, count of three. Say, I need Jesus. I choose Jesus today. This is my family. I want you to raise your hand. Here you go. One, two, three. Hold it up. Listen, I can't see it, but God can. Maybe the people in your house see it. That's okay. But guess what? God sees it. And more than your hand, God sees your heart. And this is what I want you to do. We're going to say a prayer. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me wherever you are right now. We're going to confess and believe. And when you say it, then you'll know. You chose Jesus. But I love that, because before you chose him, he already chose you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I've sinned. Not proud of it.
Not proud of it.
But I admit it. Today,
I lay my sin down.
Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore.
I reach to heaven.
To receive your forgiveness.
To take the place of my sin.
I ask that you would accept me.
Into your wonderful family.
Today,
I give my life completely to you.
I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Man, if you said that, you're a part of the family.
Come on.
We are your family of choice, man. Your family's bigger than you know. You got brothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, cousins. Welcome. The Bible says it like this. When one comes back to the family, there's a celebration in heaven. Jesus is standing up, two-stepping, the angels are breakdancing, the choir singing.
Come on.
It's crazy. You're going to see some prompts on the screen right now. If you made that decision, make sure you text the word on the screen to the number on the screen. Or you could press that little hand in the chat to raise your hand and say, I made a commitment. Or you could even write in the chat, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm joining the family. And one of our hosts will connect with you right there online.
Yes.
We want a record of your decision. And every week, because heaven is turning up, we turn up too. So on the count of three,
come on.
Start hitting those hearts. Start hitting those claps, hit those emojis, start hitting those likes right now. Here we go. One, two, three. Let's celebrate. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you,
Come
Jesus.
On, y'all.
God is great. Thank
yes.
you for my brothers and sisters today. Hey, if they love this message, love, what can they
Come
do
on,
to keep on sharing?
Share. You can't keep all that good stuff to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to share this because you know what? Somebody else may be brought into the family by just you sharing this message.
Amen.
I believe that the family of God should be big and wide, and he wants not a single one of us to perish. He wants us all with him.
Come on.
So share it.
That's it. Share it. Why? Because we're going to continue to build strong families.
To build strong futures.
We're going to say this world one family at a time. Family is our value at Cool Church. Hey, we love you. Can't wait to finally see you again, church. I'm so excited for what the future holds. There's some stuff happening behind the scenes I can't even tell you about yet, but I promise you it's going to be awesome. So reach towards me. Let me bless you before you go.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.